Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're digging into just one source, actually. It's an article from the Better Business Bureau titled Behind the Business with Dibella Law Injury and Accident Lawyers in Boston, MA. Just came out September 23rd, 2025. And our role here isn't just, you know, summarizing a business profile. We want to unpack the core idea, how this successful firm doing really demanding work like personal injury, workers' comp, how it built its whole identity on something deeply personal, specifically the founder Chris Dibella's family history. So, okay, let's get into that. How did his background shape his professional path?
Right. And what's fascinating, you know, is how the article pretty much bypasses the usual corporate speak right away. It dives straight into this very human-centered philosophy. And for you, the listener, the key thing here is when we look at lawyers, we often focus on credentials, right? Law school, big wins. But this story suggests that maybe lived experience is like the ultimate credential. We need to understand why that kind of background is so important for an advocate.
Yeah, you get that sense immediately. This isn't some practice dreamed up in a boardroom somewhere. The source makes it really clear Chris Dibella's drive comes from his family's blue-collar roots, hard work, and, well, the risks that go with it. It starts with his grandfather's immigrants coming to America, taking on those, you know, tough, often dangerous jobs, just trying to make it, provide for their families. Yeah. Real determination there.
And it wasn't just, like, distant history for him. It was right there, growing up. He actually watched his own father come home from construction sites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, physically worn out.
Yeah.
Battered and bruised, the article says.
Wow. That image of the physical toll day after day.
Exactly. That kind of daily grind, often invisible to others, that was central to his childhood.
Mm.
And that direct observation, that's the key moment, really. Chris says seeing his father exhausted and injured, it wasn't just sad. It really cemented his decision to make a difference, to stand up for people like him. So, okay, we get the emotional why, but the question is, how did he get the skills, the legal how, to actually do that effectively? It takes more than just empathy, right?
Right. And that leads perfectly into his path, which wasn't exactly typical, through education and then the prosecutor's office. His family really pushed education, advocacy, even if they hadn't gone to college themselves. And it seems like that push, plus his own drive, worked. Chris was the first in his family to attend college. And here's this little detail I found interesting. Even as a teenager, the article says he was carrying around a big legal textbook.
Mm, wow.
Yeah. So it wasn't just a sudden idea later on. He was like laying the groundwork really early, thinking about protection.
So you got that that working class foundation, the grit. But then comes this crucial layer of professional training, systemic understanding. Before he started his own practice, he was actually a prosecutor in district court.
Okay. Prosecutor first. That seems different.
It does. Right. And it's a pivot point people might gloss over. You think prosecutor, you think criminal law. But if you connect the dots to civil cases like personal injury or workers' comp, it's actually a huge advantage. Being a prosecutor gave him, and the article quotes this, firsthand knowledge of how the justice system operates from the inside.
Okay, spell that out a bit. What's the specific edge? How does prosecuting criminals help when you're, say, fighting an insurance company over a workplace injury? They seem like totally different arenas.
Well, yeah, the specifics are different, but the core skills of building a case, managing evidence, anticipating the other side, they're very transferable, maybe even more critical in some ways. See, as a prosecutor, you learn how to sift through tons of information, build a really solid case under intense pressure, and crucially, you learn how the defense thinks, how they operate.
Okay.
So when you're up against an insurance company's lawyers in an injury case, they have their own playbook, right? They challenge medical reports. They look for ways to minimize liability. Having been on the side that builds the case, the prosecution side, lets Dibella anticipate those moves. He knows how defense attorneys think, how they'll likely attack the evidence, what arguments they'll raise.
So he's not just reacting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He can be more strategic, maybe play offense using that defensive knowledge. It turns potential weaknesses into, well, tactical advantages for his clients.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. That blend of personal empathy from his upbringing and this hard-nosed systemic insight from being a prosecutor, that really leads us to the firm's core philosophy, how they actually operate day to day. The foundation was grit, the structure was discipline, and it's all guided by this human-centered approach. We know from the source what they handle, right? Clients in Massachusetts, New Hampshire. Mostly personal injury, workers' compensation, car accidents, workplace injuries seem to be the big ones.
Yeah, and maybe we should quickly clarify that for listeners. Personal injury and workers' comp, they both involve injuries, but legally they're different beasts. Personal injury, like a car crash, usually means proving someone else was negligent. at fault.
Right.
Workers' comp, though, is generally no fault. It's more about getting benefits like wage replacement and medical coverage if you were hurt on the job, regardless of who was technically at fault.
Got it. So handling both covers a lot of ground for working folks.
It does. And their stated philosophy applies across the board. Every client deserves to be treated as a person, not just a file number.
You can really hear the echo of his background in that phrase, just a file number.
Mm.
Feels like he's directly referencing how big systems like insurance companies or maybe even the courts sometimes can make people feel.
I think so, too. But OK, let's push on that a bit. This is a Better Business Bureau feature, after all. Is that powerful language just, you know, good marketing? Mm. Or does it actually translate into how they practice law? The source suggests it does by focusing on trust and compassion. DeBell is quoted saying people come to them at some of the hardest times in their lives.
Yeah, that's intense.
Definitely. And the firm sees its job as giving people three things: clarity, confidence, and the assurance that someone is fighting for them. That's more than just filing paperwork. It's about tackling the fear, the uncertainty, the financial stress that comes with a serious injury. It all circles back to his core belief, also quoted. The practice of law is and always has been about the people.
And it seems like that commitment, that about the people idea, doesn't stop at the courtroom door. The article talks about how the firm is involved in the community, which suggests protecting families goes beyond just winning the case. It lists specific things like supporting Toys for Tots, the YMCA, local Little League teams, and it connects these activities directly, saying they strengthen families and neighborhoods. So it reinforces that theme of standing up for the same kinds of blue-collar communities he came from.
Right. And those specific choices are interesting, aren't they? Why Little League? Why the Y? For many working families, things like community sports are vital. They provide structure for kids, a positive outlet. The YMCA offers affordable programs.
Essential services, yeah.
Exactly. So by supporting these, the firm isn't just writing checks. They're investing in the community's stability. It's almost like preventative support, strengthening the families before they might ever need a lawyer for an injury. It continues the mission.
So it's strategic community work that really resonates with the people they aim to serve, not just random charity.
That's how it reads, yeah. And that community commitment is paired with, you know, professional standing. The BBB article gives those final details. DiBella Law has been an accredited member since 2017.
Okay. BBB accreditation, what does that actually signal?
Well, being accredited isn't automatic. And the fact they've maintained it since 2017 adds credibility. It means the firm meets the BBB standards for ethical business practices, for being trustworthy, for handling customer service well. It's like a third-party stamp of approval, which is pretty important when someone's potentially hiring you during a really vulnerable time. It suggests that human-centered claim is backed up operationally.
Right. So looking back at the whole story, it starts with this kid seeing his family's struggles, fueled by that experience, and it grows into a law practice that uses some pretty sophisticated legal skills, skills he honed as a prosecutor, all directed towards protecting workers and families. It's really quite a direct line from personal history to professional mission.
Yeah, that's a really clear picture. So the big takeaway for you listening today seems to be that, well, the strongest commitments often grow from the deepest personal roots. We saw how things like immigrant experiences, seeing blue-collar life up close, even career choices like being a prosecutor, how all that can shape what a business becomes years down the line. So what does this all point to? What's the bigger implication here?
Well, considering how the source highlights both things, the firm's success in complex, high-stakes litigation and this really strong stated commitment to just building trust and supporting the community, it does leave you with a final thought to chew on, maybe explore yourself. How does a law firm, or really any business driven by a strong personal mission, actually balance those two things? You know, the need to achieve successful outcomes, the litigation wins that bring in revenue, balancing that with the goal of just building community trust, providing that neighborhood support, which isn't directly about money. Which one in the long run really defines its legacy? Something to mull over.